I do welcome each one here again this morning, and I'm thankful for your presence and your prayers. And I'll tell you, we're going to try to wrap up our sermon series that we've been on for the last, this will be week five. 5 weeks we've looked at what I would consider some hard doctrinal points, some convictions of our faith, some convictions of our understanding. And I've tried faithfully in the last several weeks to be able to articulate to you and arm you with the biblical precedent and the biblical understanding for our faith and convictions as Goshen Primitive Baptist Church. And I pray this morning that we can kind of draw this series to a close as we've been looking at these different why questions. Why do you believe this and why do you believe that? And over this series, it's been a blessing for me. I hope it's been a blessing for you. And I pray that the Lord will bless us again this morning. But we've looked at everything from baptism to the fall of man to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to the sovereignty of God and predestination that we talked about last week. And what comes from many of these fundamental beliefs and understandings that we hold as Primitive Baptists is a question that I've probably been asked as much as any other question from those that have other convictions and other beliefs. And that question is, well, if all of that is true, if predestination is true and, you know, the fall of man and the sacrifice of Christ and all those things that you've talked about for the last several weeks, if all of that is true, Aaron, then what's the point of the gospel? Why go out and share the gospel? Why are we called to share the gospel if God has already taken care of our eternal redemption through predestination and the sacrifice of Christ for us? What is the point of the gospel? Why should we share the gospel? And this morning, I want us to focus on that idea and on that question and understand specifically that I think across much of Christianity today, we have created, in essence, a misunderstanding and a misguided interpretation of the purpose and the point of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because across much of Christianity today, God's people will tell you that we have to get out and we have to preach the gospel so that we can save others' souls, right? We have to save their souls from eternal damnation. And we can only save their souls by the gospel, by preaching the gospel to them, and then them hearing and receiving that message and having a change of heart and mind to turn their direction and follow after Jesus Christ. And so the gospel has become, in many respects, the method and mode of salvation in the minds and hearts of many Christians. But I want you to know something very emphatically this morning. I do not believe that we are given the gospel for the purpose and the point of saving the souls of God's people. That's not what it's for. The gospel is not to change your eternal destination. That's not its purpose, and that's not its power. So then you might ask, well, then what is its purpose? What is its power? I like to express it this way. The gospel message of Jesus Christ is not a book on dying, folks. It's a book on living. And we are called to share and proclaim and teach and preach the gospel so that the child of God, who Jesus Christ died for and secured unto him for all eternity, can know what was done and can rejoice and live in the calling and purpose of God for them. And so the gospel message is not about changing your eternal destination when you die. It's about changing the state and condition of how you live so that you can live in joy and peace and hope and triumph in the fellowship and the blessing of walking in God's truths.
The gospel in that message is not a gospel of death. It is a gospel of life. And that life is a light unto us.
Turn with me as we begin this morning to see this, and I'm going to try to articulate a little bit more, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, looking there beginning at verse 7. Paul, the apostle, writes here to young Timothy, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's what is in us in the work of regeneration that happens to us in the sovereignty of God's Spirit being brought unto us. And that work is performed upon us. We have no longer a spirit of fear or a spirit of doubt or a spirit of lust and you know, rebellion, but we have been given a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind so that we can understand and grow and learn all those things that Christ has done for us and all the things that Christ has called us to. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Don't be ashamed of the gospel truth. Don't be ashamed of the God-given purpose of the gospel message, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. He's just hammering it home again and again. We are not saved because we believe the gospel. I should say we are not eternally saved because we believe and obey the gospel. That's not its purpose. That's not its mission. We have been saved by the power of Jesus Christ. We have been eternally saved by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us, and by that alone. But according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel, the purpose of the gospel message is so that we can have light and understanding of what Jesus has done for us, what Jesus has done to us, and what Jesus has called us to. It is a gospel of life. And it is a gospel for life, okay? It is the living Word of God and the power of God unto those who have been made spiritually alive. That passage in Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that quickly, if you want to turn over there, looking at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 tells us, "For the Word of God is quick." You know what that means? Alive. The Word of God is a living Word. It has life. And it is a living Word to those that are alive. Not physically, but spiritually. Those that have been made alive spiritually can read the Word of God and it moves in them. The Spirit works in them and responds to that living Word. "And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The power of the Word of God upon the child of God that has been born again is that it will chop us up and it will separate us out. It will separate our lust and our pride and our sin and our greed and our bad thoughts. It will divide us from all those things as we live and apply ourselves to it, as we grow in it. And it, in some respects, will cut us to the very core and to the bone, right? That's the analogy that he's given us here. It's going to hurt. It's going to have an effect on you. But it's for your good. It's for your life.
because it is a living word and a word for life. Okay? Now turn with me over to that passage in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 we see here. Because as I said, it is not only a living word, but it is a word of power. It is for our good and for our benefit. Paul says so beautifully here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Now we should go out and we should share the gospel message, the gospel truth, with as many people as we can get to listen to us. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something very truthful and very honest. You're going to have a lot of people that you go and you share the gospel to, that you go and you teach the wonderful truths of God's love and grace, that are going to reject it. They're going to say, "That's hogwash. That's nonsense. That's foolishness. That's nothing but a fairy tale." Why is that the case? Because in the world, in every generation of time, there are a people that have not been born of the Spirit of God, that have not been shown the grace and mercy of God. And so they sit in that state of death and in the bondage of sin. And they reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will always reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is to them that perish foolishness. They don't need it. They don't want it. They don't care about it. It's foolishness and it's a fairy tale. But unto us which are saved by the power and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So we see that there is a salvation that comes to us from the gospel, from believing and being obedient to the gospel. But that salvation is not eternal. It is temporal. Because the gospel is for our temporal lives. It's for today. It's to empower you to live without fear, to walk and know the ways of God, to live in peace and joy and fellowship with Him and with His saints. And from doing all that, we are saved from fear and from sin and from death. We are saved from those things temporally. And it is temporally that the gospel salvation is applied and should be applied. Look at verse 22. "For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews it's a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Unto those that are saved, unto those that are called, unto those that have been given the Spirit of God in the work of generation, it is the power and the wisdom of God for our lives. It's a how-to book on how to live, folks. Not a how-to book on how to die. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 tells you what a beautiful passage that is. He says, "We have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness." That's the purpose of the gospel. So that we can know how to live. So that we can rejoice in what Christ has done. And so that we can walk in a way and in fellowship with Him, in an obedience to Him, and enjoy the blessings and the
fruitfulness and the prosperity and the peace that He has made possible for us today. The gospel is not about changing your eternal destination. It's about changing your life and to help you to live a more prosperous and abundant life in the peace and blessings of God's fellowship. And so that is its purpose. And that's how we should see it. But I fear, and I'm going to ramble here for a few minutes, because we're going to look at a passage in Galatians. And I'm going to get a little bit deep here, so I hope that y'all can follow along with me. But I've been chewing on this all week, and it's been a blessing to me. Because I fear that in modern day Christianity, and in the hearts and minds of many Christians today, we have come to the point to where the church, in many respects, in today's culture and society, has made the gospel message of Jesus Christ into the same thing that the Jews of Jesus' day made the law of Moses. Okay? So what did the Jews believe about the law of Moses? You know, when Jesus Christ came into the earth and was born in Bethlehem, grew up and began to minister across Jerusalem and Judea, and He began to preach and teach His gospel message. You know, the Jewish people rejected Jesus Christ. Why did they reject Jesus Christ? Because in their minds and hearts, they did not need a Messiah. They did not need a Savior. Why? Because they had the law of Moses, and because they had the birthright of Abraham. In their minds and hearts, they could save themselves by their own works and by their own actions. And that was a misguided interpretation. It was a lot worse than being misguided. It was downright heresy. And because they had that misguided interpretation of the purpose and the power of the law to save them eternally, they believed that that was given to them, and that by their own actions and their own works and their own will, they could save themselves. They had turned the law of Moses into the method and mode by which they could achieve eternal redemption through their will and through their obedience. Now I say that in many ways, many Christians have taken the gospel and done the same thing with it today. They have taken this book and this wonderful story and this wonderful truth of Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He has done to us and for us and called us to, and turned it into a book by which we can save ourselves if we read it and we follow it and we believe it. And if that's what you think the gospel is for, if you think that's its purpose, is the method and mode by which you obtain eternal redemption, then you have got caught up in an error and a heresy, just like the Jews did in the days of Jesus in regards to the law of Moses. Because here's the truth of it, folks. And I'm going to be frank here. If the gospel could truly change any one of our eternal destinations, if any one of us could truly be eternally saved from going to hell by believing and being obedient to the gospel message of the New Testament, then if that was true, then the Jews of the days of Moses and Elijah and Isaiah could have saved themselves from judgment and from damnation by being obedient to the law. But we know that the law was not good enough. The law could not change their eternal destination, could not save them. They needed a Savior. They needed an atonement. They needed Jesus Christ. And so do we. The gospel in and of itself is not given to change our eternal destination. It's given so that we know the one that came and did change
our eternal destination. Go with me to the book of Galatians. Because if we build up, and I don't mean to diminish in any way the power and the wonder and the beauty and the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's important. It should be the book by which we live each and every day. A book that we read and feed on more so than any other piece of literature in our lives. But as powerful and as important as it is, don't misplace it. Don't build it up and give it a purpose and a meaning that is not supposed to have, right? That's what the Jews did to the law, and I fear that that's the mistake we're making with the gospel. Don't do that. Paul tells us here in Galatians chapter 2, he draws a picture here, and I want you to see this. Look at verse 15. He says, "We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." It doesn't matter. If you followed the law of Moses to the T and dotted every I, you will still not be justified eternally in the eyes of God Almighty. Why? Because you were born in sin and you stand in sin. And no more can you be justified by the law then can you be justified by the gospel. Doesn't matter how obedient you are to the law of Moses. Doesn't matter how obedient you are to the New Testament gospel. You are still going to be unjustified in the eyes of God. They're not good enough to change your eternal destination. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That's really what I wanted you to see first and foremost. If you build up the law of Moses, or you build up the New Testament gospel, if you build up either one of them and say that you have eternal righteousness and eternal sanctification and eternal justification by your obedience and belief in either one, then Christ died in vain. Why? Because what you're saying is that His sacrifice was not enough. It took His sacrifice and your belief to save you, to change your eternal destination. Well, I believe to the core of my heart, folks, that Jesus was enough. His sacrifice on Calvary was enough. It doesn't matter what I believe. It doesn't matter what I know. It doesn't matter how obedient I am. Christ was enough. Christ alone secured me and changed my eternal destination. My understanding and my belief and my obedience to that only changes my own personal life. It only affects me. It only brings me joy and benefit. It doesn't change what Christ has done. It's a beautiful truth that lies here. Look back in that 16th verse again. I'm going to break this down just a little bit because Paul is speaking to us. And what he's doing here is he's speaking to a group of Gentiles, okay?
He's speaking to a group of Gentiles that had been converted from the pagan religions of the Greeks and had come to know Jesus Christ and to believe Him and to follow Him. And then those Gentiles who had been converted and walked and felt the Spirit of God then got caught up in the same misguided interpretations that the Jews had got caught up in. They started believing that their redemption and that their salvation was obtained and kept through their obedience to the law. And what he's doing across this second and third chapter of Galatians is he's taking them to task and he's saying, look, that's wrong. Don't do the same thing they did. Don't make the same mistake. Don't do with the gospel what the Jews did with the law. They were wrong. Don't make that same mistake. Look at what he says here back in verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the importance of that expression. It doesn't say you are justified by your faith in Jesus Christ, does it? It says you are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. We are eternally justified. We will go to eternal glory, not because we are faithful, not because we are obedient, but because Jesus Christ was faithful and obedient. We are justified by His faithfulness to the will of God the Father. When He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember that? How many times did He fall down, sweating drops of blood, with agony as He felt the pressure of all our sins being laid upon Him, and He cried out to God the Father, "Not my will, but Thine be done, O Lord." Jesus was faithful to the will of His Father. And because He was faithful, we shall be eternally justified. We are not justified by our faith in Him. We are justified by His faithfulness to God's will. It's a beautiful and important concept that's laid out very early in this passage that follows through the next two chapters. You have to establish that when Paul uses the word faith across the second and third chapter of Galatians, he's always pointing you back not to your faith in God, but to the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to God. It is Christ's faithfulness, Christ's faith, Christ's obedience that eternally justifies us. And that was enough. And he says that again down in that 21st verse. Christ has died in vain if we say that we are justified or we are righteous because of our works, because of our faith, because of our belief and our obedience. We frustrate the grace of God and we render the sacrifice of Jesus Christ not enough. And he's telling them and he's telling us, don't do that. Don't make that mistake. Don't make that misguided judgment. And don't turn the gospel into something it's not. He says there in that third chapter, in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth and crucified among you? I've shown you the truth. You know the purpose of the gospel. Why are you going to twist it now? Why are you going to fall into the same trap that the Jews did in the Old Testament? Why are you going to make it into something that it shouldn't? Don't do that. It's foolishness and it's misguided and it will lead you down a dangerous road. And it'll lead you down a road that will bring a lot of hardships and trials to your life, because you'll read the whole book of the Bible trying to figure out how you get yourself to heaven.
The Bible doesn't teach you how you get yourself to heaven. The Bible shows you how Jesus got you to heaven, and now how Jesus calls you to live in joy and peace and fellowship by His word and His calling and His purpose and His grace to you, right? That's the purpose. That's the power of the gospel. And that's how we need to see it and express it. It's not a book that teaches us how to change our eternal destination. It is a book that empowers us to change our lives. It's about living, and it's for life. It is the living Word of God. In closing, let's go. I'm going to skip that passage in 2 Timothy. Let's go to John chapter 10. Because, you know, many would say, well, if the gospel is not given to us so that we can change our own eternal destination and so that we can help others change their eternal destination, what's the point? What's it for? I thought about that and reflected on that question quite a bit this morning. And I couldn't get away from the words of Jesus Christ in St. John chapter 10. What's the point and the purpose of His gospel? Why did He give it to us? Why even tell us all of this wonderful news and information? You know what? That's what gospel means. It means good news. It is a declaration of good news that has been done, right? Jesus did it. This is His testament. This is His story. This is His gospel. It's about what He's done for us, to us, and what He has called us to do. St. John chapter 10, verse 7. What's the point of the gospel? Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. My sheep, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. What's the purpose and point of the gospel? So that you can have life and have it more abundantly today and now. And that's my prayer for you this morning.